it does make you start thinking about summertime. And a lot of people ask me, like, do you get time off in the summer? And I have 2 weeks, 2 weeks off. So it's always the July 4th week and then one additional week. And so this year we will be in Colorado. My wife and I, that's something that we have done for the last three years or so in Durango.
Okay. Are you guys hikers? I'm not sure if that's in the mountains or more
yeah,
in the flatland.
It's big mountains, big okay. mountains. Yes, we hike, but fly fishing.
That's your hobby. That's your specialty.
That's my thing. Yeah. That's okay. why we're there. And then I do play a little bit of golf, but, I'm much better at fly fishing than I am at golf, but
it must be
fun.
A nice view for a golf course.
Oh, it's amazing. It's golfing in the mountains, there's nothing like it. So, we'll go for a week, just she and I together. And then my daughter, Maggie, and her husband, Luke, and her two kids, my two grandkids, Peter, Luke, and Vera Joy, will be coming up to join us the second week.
That'll be fun. Have they ever been out of Texas?
Oh yeah, they've been places, but really Peter, Luke, especially, he's, 3 years old and some change. This will be his big, he'll remember this, mm-hmm. Or like he can do things like I can take him hiking, just he and I around a pond somewhere and throw rocks in the water and stuff. So
and he'll enjoy it.
He's looking forward to it.
Now, This will be one of those core memories for him, I bet.
100%. 100%.
Yes. And I'm excited too. I'm going to go to Chicago for the first time. So to visit some friends up there. So we'll kind of both be up north a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
But without further ado, welcome to season 4, episode 11 of Friendswood ISDs, the podcast with your communication specialist, me, Sophia Armentor. We're glad you're joining us today as we dive into all things FISD, share updates, stories, and insights from around our district. Whether you're a student, parent, teacher, or community member, we're so glad you're tuning in. Today, we are joined by Superintendent Thad Rohr to look back and reflect on all of the awesome things that have happened this year, and also give us some updates about the district going into our 25-26 school year. Welcome, Mr. Rohr.
Good morning. Good morning.
Little applause for you there.
Thank you very much.
So looking back on this year, so many things have happened. What moments or milestones have stood out to you? It's our 85th year.
That's right.
So I know we've had kind of a lot of celebrations this year, but I think we're looking back on just how far we've come and how much farther we can go.
Yeah. I think one of the celebrations is just having that 85th year and starting out thinking about that and celebrating the foundation that we've built on. And the excitement around that of thinking where we've come from, in those 85 years and what you just said, what's ahead, man, just, off the top of my head, this has been a great school year.
Most definitely. We added in the new facilities, which was,
I would say that was a big, I distinctly remember the very first, day of staff being there, which I believe the new facilities, we opened up for them the day they got there. So we were able to get the occupancy permits and everything. And
I remember they were still doing, I think, some construction behind the stage and the PAC. And we got to really show that off for convocation. It's the first time I had seen it too. So it's pretty magical.
A milestone moments was, walking into culinary, to engineering, to the choir room, the new band hall, the audio visual, the pack, and like seeing those teachers see their space for the first time, really set up and like ready to go. And then, it was emotional, frankly, all that we'd put into it together and the hurdles that we'd overcome to get to that point. So that and kind of along those same lines, in our gym, our first game was a volleyball game against Dickinson, and that gym was packed with people. We opened it up. We said, come for free. We opened it up, and it was so loud. in there. And I just remember, and it was a close game and it felt like a state playoff game, frankly. And it wasn't even September yet.
People showed up and showed out, and now we have the room to fit the community.
Yeah, that was awesome. So those are really standout, you know, moments for me were those facilities. And then I think too, another, you know, standout is just, and we're going to talk about it a little bit today, just the hard work of our Citizens Advisory Committee to work on a bond recommendation to, well, they brought a bond recommendation when it was all said and done to the board. That was huge.
And 5 years coming, it's been a while since, you know,
5 years
I know that
since our last one. And then just, two more things. One is just strategic plan refresh and the work of that committee. You know, we'll talk a little bit about it too, but just the direction, you know, the confirmation of the direction and also the refinement of that direction to where we're headed. So I'm just, that was exciting to think about the work ahead, and I think it charged us up too. And then just, I'm always moved, and you know, highlights to me of watching our students perform at various events and you know, cheering for them, watching them succeed, you know, a state swim.
I know we've broken some records this year.
State swim, you know, and we went to state in a lot of different venues, you know, playoffs in a lot of different venues, far into the playoffs, celebrating our little, you know, readers at our board meeting who had, you know, these were readers who had come such a long way. Those kind of things, you know, come to mind walking through elementary classes and watching some of the really neat, learning that's going on and thinking, man, you know, miracles that happen in these schools every day, like learning to read. That's like a miracle.
It is,
definitely. And you get to see that. So, man, I could go on. I could do the whole podcast on, you know, the great things that have gone on.
And that's something I love. I do love that here in Friendswood, we don't only recognize, you know, the record-breaking state winners, which are amazing, and we're glad about that. But we also recognize just success looks like a lot of different things. And it just looks like pushing yourself to be the best you can be. And so this year when we announced recognizing our super readers across all of our elementary campuses, I think that was kind of a great addition to our celebration of excellence. And, you know, we've had other great moments at Surprise Patrol and end of the year. We're going to have a great time at the end of year awards and years of service. But why is it so important to you and to our district leadership to continue investing in our culture of celebrating success in different ways across staff, across students?
Celebration is a part of culture building. It's part of the, you know, continuous cycle of improvement is celebrating, you know, big wins and little wins. And so, I wish we could do it more. You know, we, call names and clap and do those things and, celebrate in multiple ways, but you know, we have a unique end of year and we get everybody together and just being together to celebrate. There's something about that, that in your chemistry is very important for the success of an organization, of a family, of all of those things, you know? So, that's why it's important. And, our campus leaders are, you know, district level leaders. It's important to them to celebrate. And
if only we had a bigger boardroom, then we could, then we could celebrate,
you know,
100 more people.
Yeah, that's right.
I think our last board meeting was pretty packed. If you were there, it was like wall to wall.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of great things to celebrate.
Yes.
So
for sure.
I did want to jump in to kind of a hot topic. So Friendswood ISD just went live with a new policy, the cell phone policy. And that's kind of in a way for the day, bell to bell on all campus locations. Can you talk a little bit about the intent behind it, the decision, and how it supports our staff and students?
Certainly. You know, we sent a letter out to share with all staff and the community, but it's been a long, you know, this has been a long time in process, and that's important to know. It's been something that, you know, you've put out in the newsletter, you've put out in the board reports for the last 3 months.
Sure. Yeah. We've been working on it for a while.
Just to let people know what's going on. And that, again, I'll just remind people, those are really important things to read. It's easy just to, well, here's a, you know, weekend update, but we put things in there for parents especially to see.
Because I know that we want to hear those concerns. Yeah. And that way, moving forward, when we are instilling these policies, those concerns have been taken into account. So I know that it is important that, you know, we read and we vocalize how we felt about what we've read in the past. And
yeah. And so, I mean, the why is the most important thing. And that's how we build that, is by communicating through that methodology. So that's why it's important. Because we'll spell out those things. But this goes back to last fall, you know, a year ago, maybe even, where we, the board, at a board meeting, you know, as part of our, you know, beginning of the year, asked us, gave us a directive. When I say us, Friends with ISD, me, and our team, to explore their intent and interest because of all the research behind it. We had done a book study together on Anxious Generation. We'd also just seen so many changes in the data around our students and at school, and some of the pieces that were mirrored in that are the same things that we see happening, you know, across our community and our schools. So they gave a directive to, you know, explore a bell-to-bell policy of students not having their phones, not really their phones, but the things that are on the phones that are tied to those issues that we see. And we see at our high school, our suicide, the suicide attempt and rate, the depression, the hospitalizations,
sure,
all the things that we see. So we had a team put together of students, parents, teachers, administrators, cell phone think tank, we called it.
Little bit of everyone.
Yeah. And they began a learning process, which is the key when you change your learning. And they reached out to schools who had put in this policy, asked some real deliberate questions about them, met with them, two different schools in particular, school districts that we want to talk to. They explored the research behind it. They did surveys within Friendswood High School and Friendswood Junior High mainly, and brought back a recommendation to the, well, not necessarily the recommendation. They just shared the learning that they'd had with the board.
Sure.
I believe it was in March.
Yeah,
I believe it was in March where they shared that, which then elicited a lot of conversation around that, questions to that committee that presented that day. The board sent us back with some more research to do on enforcement of the policy, the current policy, review some discipline data around that, come back again. We came back again together, shared more information, and then at our most recent board meeting in May, they voted to move forward with a bell-to-bell policy, and part of that was how to do that, and that's the hardest thing, you know, is how to do that, because the enforcement's such a challenge.
Sure.
And that was a huge challenge on the campus already. And, you know, something that we hear quite a bit is, you know, why just enforce what you have? It would be so easy. And, I would just encourage, you know, to talk to a teacher that you trust, a high school teacher that you trust, and just ask them about the challenges of that policy, or even, you know, do this experiment tomorrow, this weekend, wake your kids up at 8:00 on Saturday morning, and tell them, you know, you can have your phone in your pocket or in your room, but you can't use it. And that's a,
I don't know if that would be able to happen.
That's a real, from 8 to 4, that's what we need to do, which is essentially what we do every day. We had, you know, pockets in the room and they slide them into the pockets and then they take them out, but they,
but knowing it's there, kind of almost like staring at you in the face, you know, and at the door.
There was a lot of research and one of the schools that we have really connected with who's put this policy in this in place and has just talked about transformation and culture. You know, they started with an away for the day with just having students have it on them. And they moved to a Yonder pouch, which is a pouch. It doesn't stop the cell phone signal. It just locks magnetically. Just think about, you know, like when you go to a store and you buy something, you know, and it has a little magnet. It's just very similar. You just touch a magnet and it undoes it.
And so these are the pouches that students will be required to keep their phones in from bell to bell. So as they'll have it on their person, but it'll be locked in this pouch.
It'll be in those pouches till the end of the day. And you can, you know, you can put these magnets everywhere, you know, because we have kids involved in so many things, to be able to, as they, you know, however the high school works through and the junior high works through that process, where those will be. And we have an implementation plan through Yonder that we're facilitating right now, that they are part of the training and that to help us help that to be successful. And our campus leaders and campus teams are putting together all the things to answer the questions. And I know there's a lot of questions, you know. The biggest one is, you know, to me, when I think about myself, you know, my kids, I've been able to, for years, text them, get a hold of them, let them know things, share back and forth. And really the email allows us to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Students all have a device. And so they'll be able to still communicate, you know, via email.
They can
email.
Still contact if
right. So that'll be the methodology. And the campuses will be working through other, you know, ways to message, you know, message students or bring things up. It'll go back to similar to what, you know, we had when we were in school.
Yeah, we're kind of taking it back to an era before cell phones, even I didn't get a cell phone until I was 16. So
yeah, so
not taking it back that far.
No, that's true. So that's where we sit this morning, and you've done a great job. We have a website up that has the beginnings of some frequently asked questions.
Yes. So if
about
you,
the things that you wonder about that might be wondering, and we'll just, as we've done with other things, you know, we'll just continue to build on that as we think of things, as questions come in, and as we finalize different policies. And then what parents can expect are communications from the campus about how this is going to work as we get closer to the start of school here in a few months.
Sure, because this won't start until the 25-26 school year,
right,
in the fall. And I think that, you know, to look at this in a different perspective and try a different solution is definitely something that's needed. But if you are interested in learning more about our policy, about any of the frequently asked questions that we've gotten, or even just kind of what is the Yonder pouch and how does it function, you can find that information on our FISD website. If you go to parents and students and cell phone policy, you can find all that great stuff there.
You know, one thing, I know there's questions about the cost. You know, it's $30 a pouch. So, students will be obviously issued those, as will be theirs, you know, through their school career or through their secondary experience, really. And one of the things that we saw as we were, you know, we had campus teams and, staff coming forward is, you know, so many things, data that you can see on the frequently asked questions of, you know, academic achievement results changing as a result of cell phones, that just that distraction, mm-hmm. you know, being absent, the engagement possibilities. It'll be interesting to see the research over time as more and more schools step into this, what that, you know, what those achievement results look like. There's just, you know, as we see that going forward, when you think about $30 a student and you're implementing something that data has shown is increased student achievement, you know, that's a good invest. That's a, like if we had a program that we wanted to invest in and we could tie some of the same results that we'll, you can see in that frequently asked questions.
Yeah, because our ultimate goal is to graduate these learners and give them the tools
student,
they need.
Student learning is our key. It isn't cell phone policies. You
and
know?
So this data is taken from school districts that have done this process and seen the impact that
that's
it's
right. And the other thing that we found was, you know, when you think about the time, take an assistant principal who you like, assistant principals and our instructional leaders on each campus, what we would love to be able to have happen and everyone at their school district would love to have happen is them to be in classrooms with teachers, watching learning, going through, evaluation processes and also just looking at initiatives that are happening to improve instruction and to affirm. You talked about celebrate great instruction and to move our strategic plans forward and the hopes and dreams of the people listening today. Mm-hmm. Well, they spend a lot of time. I mean, we were kind of shocked at the amount of time that they are spending on not just collecting cell phones, like, you know, right now, if you have a cell phone in class, you would have to collect it and then go to the assistant principal, whatever. But all the things related to pictures that are on the cell phones, texts about vaping, it seems like everything originates or is communicated via phone. So what if that's set aside? It isn't going to stop it for sure.
But maybe we won't have to think about,
but during the day, you know, pictures, cheating
comments, you know, if
taking pictures, you know, that's
personal texts.
A big, you know, a piece that they're having to step into is really easy to slide your phone out and take a picture of something or while you're in the hallway, you know, going between things, share stuff back and forth with each other that we would prefer that not happen. They're spending all their time doing that. So again, it's not going to remove it. But I'll say, I mean, we have great kids in Friendswood, great, great kids. It's because of our parents, mm-hmm. Our school district. And so we take that out of the hands for a segment of time, you know, what might that look like? So, you know, it's hard to put a price on the time that teachers, administrators are spending on this, you know, this phone, on that phone. So 30 bucks a student. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping for an investment in a change in culture that is worth $30 a student.
And that from instruction down to mental health, you know, it's,
yes,
you know, those things are priceless. So
that's right. That's right.
Well, I know that earlier you did mention the Citizens Advisory Committee a little bit just because of the previous bond back, you know, years ago. Now I know that the new Citizens Advisory Committee had presented a potential bond package to our board in this last May meeting. Can you tell us a little bit about the idea behind that? The committee in general, how they came together and what they're kind of looking at?
Sure. We had a very wide ranging group of, you know, the majority of community members, also teachers, from each campus, a few teachers from each campus, a few administrators from each campus, and then really our myself and some of our central office to help do the presentations and some of the things alongside of VLK, our architect firm, who walked us through it. So we went through five meetings, and I mean, we spent a lot of time, you know.
And this, visits. When did this kind of go
it
back?
Started
to?
Right after in January. We had the committee identified in December, January. We went through five meetings. Of each meeting was a visit to a facility, and then, you know, data based on the board's charge of what they're looking to for them to bring to them. And at the end of this committee, the groups, the tables, all came to the consensus on a recommendation to the board for on a $160 million bond for numerous items in Friendswood and Friendswood ISD. One of the things that they saw that they brought forward in their presentation, we had two community members, Laura Hartlieb and Brandon Kinsey, were part of that committee, and they presented, you know, to the board was, you know, we went prior to the 2020 bond, we went 13 years without a bond program, and we have aging facilities, and you know, you just think about your house, and same thing as a school district, you know, the
gotta upkeep,
gotta keep things going, you know, and the way that the budgets are outlined, you know, you have your general fund, your maintenance and operations, it really just takes care of the day to day. It doesn't mm-hmm. have, you know, 85% of that is salaries for people, and that other 15%, when you take out insurance, electricity, mm-hmm. you're not talking about money to build buildings. You're talking about, you know, diesel fuel and computers and materials. And so that's why, you know, in some ways we're behind, and you look at a Westwood that's, you know, 58 years old, what it would take to bring that, you know, to be able to utilize that facility for 10 more years. You look at that number, and Bales is our, you know, our next facility. The cost put into that, the committee recommended the construction of a comprehensive K-5 campus that would encompass those two, that we'd be able to build right behind those two buildings while school was still going on, so we wouldn't have to displace kids, which is a really big factor. Our last bond package in 2020, we did a whole facilities plan. So when we do a facilities plan, we go through everything, and only a few of those things get selected. And the last thing out was an ag barn, and really an ag educational facility. And I think that's important to know, is that the number of kids that we serve, you know, mm-hmm. and in the ag program, the amount of leadership we recognize, you know, you and I,
and we've recognized, yeah,
we just recognized the last time at a state
back to back board meetings,
I think, a state level that didn't have anything to do with raising animals, mm-hmm. you know. So you got such a broad range, and man, if I were going back through again with my kids after living through as a superintendent what the ag program brings for leadership and the ability for those soft skills that everybody wants to see, I think I'd put my kids in the ag program.
And there's so many different routes you can go.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Fun fact, whenever I was in school, I did FFA and I did photography. So, and that's kind of what started me off on the career of media that I am now. So it's, and you know, we just celebrated veterinary science and entomology. Yeah. So it's a huge pathway for a lot of different career industries, but also with each of these things, you know, Westwood, Bales and the Ag Barn, I think there are things that do affect a lot, impact a lot of our students. And it's not just, I mean, the Ag Barn, you know, again, everything that we put into is for the community as well.
Right.
And so I think that's important.
And we're right now with the animal science side of it, you know, we're turning away, you know, pushing on, you know, 200 students, you know, 100 to 150 to 200 students who aren't able to have their animals in the barn because we don't have any space. And we also want to expand to the junior high. We have no room, obviously, for them. We have junior high ag classes, you know, that they could be participating in that. It's such a great community for the kids, you know, and one of the things we believe super important is get tied into a community of students. And that's where you build, so many different things. Those interactions are so critical to development of a young adult. And so, it was the last thing off. And I think we all still to this day regret not biting the bullet and including it on there. But, here we sit with the opportunity to build a really amazing facility that serves our kids. And we'll, you know, as we sit down for our first podcast of next year, we'll be talking about opportunities to go visit these facilities mm-hmm. for our community members. It's important to see.
Especially that Ag Barn. It is a little sad because the animals are a little sad, but yeah. I do think it's important that, yeah, right. we give the community an opportunity to just see kind of
all the animals are crying out there, wanting a new space to be in, a new beautiful space to be in.
They definitely are.
So that, and then we also are out of space in athletics. We do not have enough locker rooms for our football team. We don't have a big enough space for our training space for 900 athletes is what we have for all the sports. Again, 900 kids lifting and getting prepared for their events and giving us a competitive edge on other school districts, with our goal being to be in regional finals for all our sporting events. We have cheerleading and wrestling. Both are off campus. They're in our annex facility. We want them back on campus for safety reasons and mm-hmm. also just to be part of that community.
Sure.
And so there's a package for athletics that includes all of those things, a baseball locker room, a softball locker room, turf on the fields, baseball and softball, and an auxiliary field that can be utilized by band. Right now, band has to park work in a parking lot. And if we had a marked space, then they wouldn't have to get cars off and could be off the concrete and have true field markings. This is a state level marching band.
Sure, and it seems like we're at a point where we can't really grow anymore yeah. because we can't even give these kids that we have now, if they want to do more sports or if they want to get yeah. involved in our ag program, there just really isn't yeah. the
and
capacity
this,
for
this
it.
This 2020 bond, you know, I think the only locker space that we have that was male sports was basketball. All the others, we built new spaces for all of our female athletes, locker room spaces, state-of-the-art, you know, spaces for them. Well, not even state-of-the-art, just adequate spaces for them to be able to be in, and really want to do that, you know, for softball, baseball, and for our football team to be able to have that. So picture a two-story field house that has those pieces and then renovations of our current space. Those are really the big projects. The other ones that I'm excited about are accessible playgrounds at every campus right now.
Which is another thing that will benefit and impact 100%. All of the kids there.
So our students who are handicapped, all of our playgrounds meet ADA, but even meeting ADA, I think there's a way to do it better. We've researched to be able to include the equipment for our handicapped students to be able to play with their peers on those spaces, and also just to have, you know, rubberized, you know, footing platforms for them to be able to play on in all weather. So that's exciting. And then the last one, just big one, is Windsong. A science lab innovation space. Just picture, you know, Klein, what theirs looks like, and it would be, you know, building one that provides equity to that. So excited for those teachers and students to have that. So all of that will come. The board is considering that through the summer, and then they will decide in August at the August board meeting. It's like that board meeting is maybe the 12th or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think the second Monday in August,
they will decide, you know, in that whole package, what they want to bring forward for a vote in November. So it would be a November vote unless they, you know, do something differently. So yeah, that's going to be a big deal for us coming into the fall. And, The thing about all these spaces is, you know, if we don't do them, none of it's going away. You know, it's it's not something that it's going to be there for the next thing. So, you know, we have a $20 million in there for priority one maintenance needs. Our high school has a lot of plumbing, foundation.
Essentially, we could be slapping kind of a Band-Aid, for lack of a better term, on something that eventually would need.
We'd have to do anyway. Westwood is not going to, you know, I think the number right now for Westwood, and we'll, you know, as we make presentations, but I think the number to do those priority ones through threes is like 30 something million dollars. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of money for an old building whose building envelope is compromised in a lot of ways. Just like me, I'm getting old. I'm compromised in a lot of ways. Can't walk straight anymore and limp around. And
Me too. And I'm only 26. Yeah, no,
you got a long way to go before you're in my shoes.
Well, you know, if you do want to look back, and this is for anyone listening, and see what the CAC has met about, minutes for all of the meetings and the final summary of what they've come to recommend to the board, you can go to our CAC website, and that'll be under Community and Citizens Advisory Committee. And we've kept that updated all spring. And so the main goal is transparency for us. So if you're interested in looking into that anymore over the summer before this is put to a vote in August, definitely go check that out. But that does bring us to one more big thing. We're doing all kinds of big things at the end of this year that I wanted to jump into. And that is the strategic plan refresh that we kind of dove into over the spring. For those who aren't familiar, can you kind of explain what this is and how it relates to our original strategic plan?
Sure. A strategic plan is really the North Star aspirations for a school district. What are your hopes and dreams as a school district? And you create aspirational big goals, big steps. And we did that in my second year as a superintendent with a large group, and ended up with seven goals. We worked through the last 5 years, and this was really a refreshing of the goals based on the learning that we've had today, the changes in society. You know, we've gone through a lot of things in those 5+ years. And so we came through together, and the thing that was exciting to me is it narrowed down to five goals, and very aspirational goals. I'm really excited about our goal one, which is connection to the community, clarity for the community, the building of community. When so many communities are pulling apart from each other, for us to focus on something that is transformational and unheard of in communities now, you'll be a big part of that, Sophia, from the communication standpoint, what that communications looks like, but also just, you know, communications for parents, PTOs, booster clubs, like how do we all join together to move forward? And then goal two really focuses around engagement for students. And that is, I mean, that's been a theme from the beginning for us, is how do we build more engaging classrooms, engaging instruction, which we have so much of that in place now. It's part of the celebrations, you know, and you know this, mm-hmm. you put it up for us on social media every week. We could leave here right now and go to Bales
and find tons of innovative learning.
And we could 100%
engaging
show that.
Learning.
Yeah. So learning more about that, measuring the impact of that. Goal three, our new goal three really centers around professional learning, and the continuous cycle of improvement that brings vision and innovation into action into all areas. What that planning cycle and process can do for a theater, an art, pre-K, all those things. Goal four centers around our facilities and connections to facilities that and the building and the attributes of facilities that demand learning, that are contiguous to learning for not only students, but for teachers as well. So building those attributes and then looking at our spaces and what is it that we need to do. And this is just, this is beyond bond projects. This is, you know, in a Winsong that has a one piece of a bond project, but what is their space for teacher learning look like? Does that encourage learning? Does that in help them embrace that? You know, maybe that's the area we step into that. And then the last goal of roles centers around the social emotional side of our students, our faculty, our staff, and building stronger connections in there, which we've come a long way in the last 5 years for that. But that's really that team's action. So we have year one actions that we'll step into, and we'll be hearing a lot more and seeing a lot more advertised about that as we step into the fall.
Sure. And I remember kind of when the committee was getting together and we were kind of diving into this and looking back and reflecting on what our current, our old strategic plan was. I don't want to say old, because we still, you know, we're still doing all of those mm-hmm. goals. We're just kind of
more focused.
Yeah. And so that was cool because I saw not only teachers, we even brought students in.
Yes.
And we had school board members. It was kind of just, again, as with everything I think we're doing here, a little melting pot and yeah. everybody gets a voice. And I think that that really did translate into the new strategic goals where we really want to support every group from the community, getting them more involved, letting them know what is happening around campuses, and then the students with creating more engaging learning opportunities. And I think that with how fast changing the environment is today, you know, 5 years ago, engaging learning might have looked a little different than engaging learning looks today. And so to keep progressing with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really, I think if you could just say one thing about how this new refresh differs from the original strategic plan, what was really just the goal there?
I think I'll answer for your first question. What's different about it is it is much more focused on the key elements that we hope and dream for, that our parents, our students, you who were part of that strategic plan refresh, hope and dream for in our kids for the future. So the focus of it, another implementation difference, I think, is we've learned, you know, you can't drive something out from a district plan. The campuses need some autonomy to, like, how does goal one touch me at Klein? And that campus staff team has to come up with that. That builds their embracing that goal. And if each campus comes up with that, we're all, even though it might be in different places, like goal two, Klein might be working on something different in engagement than Winsong is, but we're all working in the same direction, and it's moving the whole entity forward, the whole FISD forward in different ways, but it's jumping. It's mm-hmm. jumping faster than it would be if we said, here's the actions we want you to take.
So, and there's only one way to do this.
Right. And here's what we think, you know. And then from the district side, we will do that. We'll do that in learning teams. Just got a chance to sit with Lauren and Ryan Kopp, our new assistant superintendent, and dream and vision around that a little bit. And that process that we went through this last year, kind of for our big four, which is a little bit different, but the same, really has been, I think, a positive way to come to action. And not a strategic plan cannot be a notebook on your shelf. It has to be something that you're thinking about all the time, in all areas. And it's why I think we've moved forward. As you see the expansion of programs and career tech, I'm really excited about community engagement this year, the opportunity for people who are listening, if you're still listening after this long.
Yep.
To get Lexi involved. Lexi Kopp is coming on a new position for us as the executive director of career tech and community involvement. And to have a person who is going to go out and make those connections you know, imagine what that would have been for you to have somebody who was in communications in high school mm-hmm. come and you're like, that's it. That's what I want to do. They know it. They're doing it. That's engaging. And so I'm really excited about that new role. It'll be a central office role that will work alongside our career tech director at the high school and junior high. That's going to be really cool to see unfold.
Yeah, I'm excited about the community involvement. And I think, you know, like everything, you know, we have to work together to make things happen. And if any of the listeners have any ideas of how they can make engaging, innovative learning happen for kids or support teachers in any kind of way, or really, you know, giving your knowledge and your time and your expertise to just talk and share experiences is even one way to get involved. So with that said, I know we kind of went over a lot today, so thank you if you're still listening, but I did kind of want to give just kind of like a final reflection over this year and last year. As we look ahead into 25-26, what are some goals that the district is focused on? And I know we kind of talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things that we talked about are goals. One that we didn't talk about that I'll just share that's a real opportunity for us is, you know, we've had a lot of our senior administrators, principals, central office staff. We've had a lot of retirements of some really great people. And that has been a celebration in a lot of ways of the last, you know, 8 years for me in building up the next level of leader. And now they're jumping into these new positions. So new faces in new places. Out of our six principals, we'll have three new principals. And so we've had phenomenal principals leadership. And one of the focuses for us coming into this new year is the learning for them, the, you know, taking advantage of the natural excitement of a newness. When you step into a new role, man, and you know this better than anybody, mm-hmm. you are fired up and you're excited. And so that excitement, this is my eighth year. I'm finishing my eighth year. I'll start my ninth year as superintendent. Like, it gets me fired up, you know, to
have a new Delaney perspective.
Delaney Lyons, new junior high principal. Her excitement makes me excited, you know. Crystal Mill, new principal at Westwood. Just kind of, you know, what I've been around her thinking about, like, her hopes and dreams, like, that fires me up, you know. And so all of us, our cabinet level team, Ryan Kopp, new assistant superintendent, you know, Lauren Ambo, our deputy superintendent, and I have worked together for, you know, 6 years now, I think. And just to have a new voice and some new ideas in the room. I hate Kim Cole retiring. I mean, she's phenomenal, you know.
Kim Cole, Miss Susan Kirkpatrick. She's,
those are hard losses. Exactly. Super hard losses.
But
one of the things, as they go on to their next chapter, you know, and it'll be the same for everybody, it'll be the same for me when I, you know, put my keys on the desk, a new energy comes in, you know, as part of that. And so I think that's one of the things I'm excited about next year is, you know, that first gathering of our district leadership team and seeing all those new faces and feeling that energy in the room. And for us as an organization to take advantage of that.
And I'm excited for these new faces to also get to power everyone else up and get them fired up 100%. For 25-26 school year.
Yeah.
And our 86th year.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have Lauren Traina as our new executive director of communications. So
Lauren, I'm very excited about that. I think that she's going to have such a great different perspective than I, you know, she's a parent to some kids in the school district. Yeah. She's been a English teacher. So she kind of understands some perspectives that, you know, me, 26-year-old with no kids can see. So I'm excited to have her in and bounce ideas and get creative. That's what's going to fire me up is Miss Lauren Traina.
That's right.
Well, I will say, if you could say one message to FISD just throughout the summer, what would you tell everyone?
I just would say, Blessings on you. I'm grateful for our parents, such a key part of our community. You know, our theme next year is going to be focused on Mustangs. It's Mustang community and the unity behind that. And summer brings a different chapter of life for all of us in education and for parents with kids. And man, just take advantage of time with your family. I know the society spins so fast these days with all of the activities that kids can be in, but just take advantage of time to be together as a family, and that you'll never regret that bonding time, especially if they're younger. It goes so fast before it moves on. And I'm looking forward to graduations this Saturday, looking forward to shaking our seniors' hands, and they've been an amazing senior class and a great set of students to close it out. So we'll be together there Saturday to celebrate those students and parents, and we're just really proud of them.
Lots of great things this year. And hey, maybe do some fly fishing this summer.
That's right.
All right. Well, everyone have a great summer, and this was a great 24-25 school year. Thank you, Mr. Orr, for being on the last episode.
Blessings on y'all. Have a great summer.